Now we'll take a trip to Conyers, Georgia, to explore the world beyond the headlines. Peter Dykstra of Environmental Health News, EHN.org, and DailyClimate.org, has been checking things out there. Hi there, Peter.
Hi, Steve. The Flint, Michigan story just gets bigger, and now it's become a political juggernaut. As you pointed out earlier, the Democrats staged a debate in Flint and highlighted Republican Governor Rick Snyder's mishandling of the crisis.
Yeah, but how fair is it to single out the Republicans and turn this into a political football?
That's not fair at all. Not when President Obama's EPA ignored the warning signs in Flint, just like the state government did. The regional EPA administrator lost her job over this. But if you want to not turn this into a political football, I'd suggest you don't do what Chris Christie just did.
Oh, what was that?
Well, Governor Christie gets both criticized and praised for his ability to shift with the political winds. With all of this attention on a lead poisoning tragedy, it maybe wasn't the best timing for him to sink a measure that would have added $10 million to a fund to combat lead poisoning risks in New Jersey. Christie says the state already spends plenty on lead abatement and adds that the lead issue has been over-dramatized.
Yeah, but, you know, New Jersey could easily spend $10 million on just 10 kids over their lifetimes if they get lead poisoned bad enough.
Right.
What's next?
A threat that's ended near the Grand Canyon, but another threat that just won't go away. The tiny town of Tusayan, near the entrance to Grand Canyon National Park, has about 500 people, and its businesses pretty much exist to serve Grand Canyon tourists. For years, local and national groups have weighed in on a proposed mega development there, businesses, hotels, and 2,200 new residences.
Doing the math here, that's what, four times as many new homes as the current number of people there? What's up?
Proposal was cut down by the U.S. Forest Service, which manages some of the land surrounding the national park. There was some strong support for the development in town, but many locals and national groups and nearby tribes opposed it and carried the day.
So some good news then.
Ah, but wait. 6 miles away from Tusayan, there's a planned uranium mine. In 2012, the Interior Department banned new mining claims near the canyon, but a mining firm hopes to begin digging on a claim approved back in the 1980s.
Uranium mining has pretty ugly history in that part of the country, particularly on Navajo land. I mean, people are still suffering contamination from the mine tailings that the uranium industry left behind.
Right. There are about a dozen existing approved claims that could open up in northern Arizona unless the courts or federal agencies intervene.
Hey, what do you have for us from the History Vaults this week?
I've got a bizarre case of panic, rumor control, and the damage done from this week back in 1989. Amid protests against Chile's authoritarian government, the FDA receives threats that grapes exported to the U.S. from Chile have been poisoned. There's extensive testing, no poison found, business as usual, but after a second set of threats, two Chilean red grapes are reportedly found to be laced with cyanide.
And mayhem ensues over two grapes?
Serious mayhem. Grapes were pulled from grocery stores and restaurants. A lot of Americans stopped eating grapes no matter where they came from. And in one magnificent bit of overreach, a mother, horrified to learn about the cyanide after she had packed grapes in kids' school lunches, had the Oregon State Police chase and pull over her kids' school bus and apprehend the menacing fruit.
Oh, yeah. And I remember that Chile really, well, they took a beating on this.
To the tune of about a third of $1 billion. The FDA banned all Chilean fruit exports for a while, but despite intensive testing, no more poison was found, and even the testing of those two grapes was called into question since cyanide couldn't have stayed potent on the 3-week boat trip from Chile.
Sounds like a very dangerous trick that never got solved. Maybe some unfair competition, huh?
Who knows? But Steve, I've got a final sad note. We lost an amazing journalism colleague this week, photographer Gary Brosh. Gary devoted years to documenting the causes and the consequences of climate change from places like the Wyoming coal fields and the melting Arctic. He died while snorkeling in another great place at risk, the Great Barrier Reef. He'll be missed, but his work lives on.
Indeed, he was a pretty amazing artist. Peter Dykstra is with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and DailyClimate.org. Thanks, Peter. Talk again soon.
All right, Steve. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
And there's more on these stories at our website, loe.org.